Hello and welcome to this Sober Rebel January series. I've created this series for you after the success of my last one in 2024 and how many people told me it supported them through that first month. You can listen to it wherever you are in your sobriety. I'm hoping there will be something for everyone, but it's been especially designed to support you through those early weeks to help you reframe some of those thoughts about drinking and about sobriety. I really hope you enjoy it. Welcome to day 31. You've done it. You've done your month. What's next? So you've probably noticed a lot of things in this month. You'll have been journaling, you'll have been noticing different things, and you'll have been seeing how things feel a lot different. Hopefully you've been checking in with yourself more before responding to things and not automatically bending to convenience. Maybe you've noticed that some things that used to feel like obligations now feel a bit optional and you're ready to choose other things. So let's talk about extending your sobriety and what would happen if you actually remove alcohol. Let's look at alcohol itself. And I want to talk about a totally different subject just to end this series. And that's how when you remove alcohol, you're removing a system that was built to keep you compliant. Because it isn't just a drink. Alcohol is a sociological tool. It's something that we join in with. It organises group behaviour. And if you're going to take alcohol out of your life for longer than a month now, which I really do encourage you to do, you're stepping outside of that norm. Because alcohol is the thing that traditionally smooths over tensions, it signals belonging with other people, and it keeps people in sync. And one of the reasons that people find sobriety uncomfortable in things like social settings is that you're suddenly stepping outside of that shared behavioural script. And it's okay to do it for a month. People seem to have acceptance of that. But when you've decided you're going to do it for longer or even for good, that's when it can be very interesting. Because making a choice not to drink, you're actually deviating from that norm. In the sociological sense, you've stepped outside that norm and then you can start to notice it. So when you're not drinking, you'll start to notice who dominates a group or who shrinks, who monitors everybody's mood, who performs enjoyment, but maybe you're noticing they're not feeling it. You can actually notice who uses alcohol to avoid silence or who needs everyone at the same level of drunkenness or looseness to feel comfortable with their own drinking, and then who might become a bit louder because they're feeling anxious, but actually not because they're truly confident, because alcohol is masking all of this and sobriety exposes it. And because you're thinking now about doing this for the longer term, you're no longer going to play your old role automatically in those settings. What I noticed was that when I removed alcohol and the time went on and people realised I was really doing this and it was a lifestyle choice, that I had to address the fact that alcohol's a bit of a social glue and I had to think about how I felt about that. The other thing that I want to talk about in this episode and that I found incredibly interesting is that you become less easy to manipulate. Because you're no longer participating in those unspoken rules that society talks of around alcohol. There's an entire body of anthropology that describes drinking as this coordination ritual. In fact, it's been used as rituals over the years. People drink to sync behaviours, the pace, the tone, the confidence, to deal with inhibition, to increase disclosure. It creates a predictability inside a group. Everybody's a little softened and that way nobody stands out. So what this means if you don't drink outside of the norm of dry Jan, which seems like everybody has grown accustomed to people doing dry January, you might find a different environment when you then decide to extend it. That's not a reason not to do it. It's actually fascinating. So when you don't drink and you make that choice in the longer term, you're standing out from the crowd. It's not because you're doing anything, it's because you're not doing something that everybody else is. And that's probably why you often used to go along with things easily when you were drinking, because it loosens that ability to check on yourself internally. It increases your social suggestibility, so you're far more up for things. It quietens any discomfort you might feel in the moment, and it makes it easier to ignore cues from yourself that something isn't quite right. So now in sobriety, you're no longer merging with that atmosphere. What you're going to do is you're stepping back and you're observing it. And that shift will make you harder to steer. Isn't that amazing? Because I actually quite like the idea of not being easy to manipulate. I'm incredibly agreeable and I can normally be talked into most things. I really didn't need alcohol poured into that people-pleasing that I was doing anyway. Something that I've noticed, and also something that other people that I've interviewed have noticed, is that when you're sober, you stop second-guessing your read of a situation. If you feel something's off, you listen to it. Because in the past, alcohol may have made your interpretations a little bit unreliable. It might muddy timelines or what you've understood. It might blur the context or exaggerate some of the emotions and then flatten other emotions. But when you're not chemically interfering with your perception, your instincts are really accurate. And that accuracy makes you less easy to influence from social scripts, friendship group scripts, anything. You now actually notice things. You notice if somebody's interrupting you, if they're pushing their needs above yours, or if you're being guilted into doing something, either by somebody manipulating you in that way or manipulating you through silence and withdrawal of emotion. You might notice when you're being volunteered for something that you don't want to do, or when somebody is using jokes or humour as a way to pressure you. And this is an absolutely brilliant thing because it means that you're not going to fall for the same scripts. To sum that up, you're less able to be manipulated. That's by the marketing that you're seeing or the adverts or the deals or the pretty bottles that you see on the shelf. All of that's manipulation. All of that is pressure. You're not going to be manipulated by your peers into drinking either. This is about really standing true, standing strong in what you want. And in that process, what you're also going to find is an authenticity, being authentically you. Because authenticity isn't a persona. What it is the removal of interference. You're able to be truly who you are. In psychology, authenticity is simply your behaviour matching your internal state. Drinking will have created a gap between what you think and what you do. That gap was uncomfortable when you were in that sober curious phase, that gap between wanting to stop and not yet doing it. And sobriety closes that gap. Most people will tell you they're drinking because they want to drink. But actually, when you remove it for a longer period, you'll realise that it's a bit of a social script. It's not always a preference. You realise it's sort of a choreography of how we mix, how we integrate, how we relax, how we unwind. And we're actually taught to do that throughout our life, looking at other people, modelling other people's behaviour. On social media, we see it shared. Birthdays mean toasting, celebrations mean bubbles, stress means wine, holidays mean excess. And holding a glass to the camera on social media with wine in it means you're having a good time. And we all know the reality of that is very often far removed from the picture. But those are the things we're being drip-fed constantly. So in longer-term sobriety, you need to keep your eye on the prize. You need to really be firm that alcohol is knocked off its pedestal and to see that as a cultural script that we've all been following without thinking about it. Now, you're now stepping outside of that script, and that's important. You may feel some social pressure in some moments where people are then enticing you back into drinking. And it's usually little comments that can get to you. Things like, are you sure you don't want something? Surely one won't hurt. You've had a month off. Oh, come on. Don't be boring. Just join in. It's fun. Treat yourself. You're going through it at the moment. Or you deserve to relax. We're all having one. Don't be left out. Those are all little things that can just nudge you and make you feel off your guard if you aren't focused on your sobriety, because you'll notice them, but you don't need to listen to them. We're all flooded with alcohol advertising that really does sell on all of those things. drink this and then you'll be more relaxed, more fun, more sophisticated, more carefree, more connected to everyone else. You'll be the real you. But we all know, and you know in this moment after this month, that none of that is true, because you're discovering you're more connected to other people, you're far more sophisticated sober than you are drinking. You can actually relax more fully and more deeply with proper sleep that you'll now be getting. You'll feel that fun is coming back into your life, and you'll accept what is real fun and what is false. And most of all, you'll begin to notice the real you. Not the you that's been drinking, the pretend confidence. And then you can start to really embrace who that really is and what you really like to do. What you'll also notice is that other people will often justify their drinking to you. Especially if you've made this a lifestyle choice, they'll start to tell you how little they drink. Understanding how alcohol's used in social situations as a whole can really help you just step back from that narrative. Alcohol just increases your compliance. And that's why I called my book, my podcast, The Sober Rebel. I thought I was rebelling by drinking alcohol when I was a teenager into my 20s. It felt like I was rebelling. But what I was actually doing was following the same cultural script that everybody follows. I was following all of those things that everybody says. I was drinking to relax, to de-stress, to unwind. I was drinking because parenting is hard. I was drinking because work is stressful. I was drinking because it was a Friday night. And it's actually now that you've stopped drinking for a month, you've had chance to finally ask yourself, do I want this? I've experienced life now without this drug, removing some of my capability. Do I actually want to reintroduce it? Or could I see how much better life feels? Because I promise you, if you're feeling good after a month, then you're going to feel amazing after a year, 2 years, 3 years. If you aren't yet feeling good, then even more reason to continue, because you're bound to be making changes and maybe you just need a little bit longer to see what those changes are. Alcohol will have been increasing your compliance, your lack of standing back from those social and cultural norms. Alcohol makes you more agreeable. It makes you more likely to say yes to things you want to say no to. It makes you less likely to question things and more likely to stay longer than you want. It makes you more open to suggestion and less aware of how uncomfortable you feel at times. So sober people do disrupt the smoothness of that dynamic. It's not by being difficult, it's just by being fully present and fully aware. So enjoy the fact that you're alert, that you're noticing the room, that you're noticing your needs, and the fact that you're noticing when something doesn't feel right. Because now you're clear-headed, you can be selective. You can check in with yourself before you respond to things. That makes you less able to be manipulated. And on the odd occasion, you're going to feel some discomfort. My fear of discomfort kept me drinking far longer than it should have done. But discomfort isn't an enemy. It's actually information. Things like feeling tired means you need to rest. Feeling emotional means you need to experience those emotions. Discomfort is information that you can do something with. In sobriety, you just become a little less available to other people's agendas. You're not as easy to persuade or to guilt or to flatter into doing things. You're not going to be pushed into things. You're not going to be pushed into plans that cost you your energy, or you're not going to ignore your inner knowing. You're not going to ignore that inner voice just to keep the peace. Sobriety over this month has given you a glimpse into what it's like to live without a drug that's numbing and dumbing you and making you more easy to manipulate. So this month so far has given you a real insight into what it's like when you not only go sober and get through it, but enjoy it. Focus on the things that you're gaining, really knock alcohol off a pedestal and put sobriety on one. And hopefully in this process, you'll have noticed that you're enjoying it, that there are things that are testing, that you will have days of discomfort and moments of discomfort, but that's life, and that actually you're far more resilient and far more able to cope with things now that you don't have a drug swirling around your system, making you less able to cope. So I hope that you're going to take the decision to carry your sobriety on and to see where it goes, whether that's setting a goal now of 100 days or 6 months, or you could do what I did and say that you're going to take the whole year off and then reassess, because I guarantee after a whole year, it's a no-brainer. Whatever your plans are, thank you so much for joining me in this month. I've really enjoyed putting this series together and pulling on and expanding on some of those subjects that I did in the first Dry January series. If you'd like to listen to that, you can go back and hear that as well. There should be some other things in there. And both of these series will remain on the platform for you to listen to whenever you need to. You can always go back and re-listen to an episode if you'd like to. I'd love to hear about your sobriety. Please do send me emails or messages and head over to Instagram to my Stepping Into Sobriety account. I'll put the link in the bio and send me a message. Let me know how you're getting on. I love to cheer people on and I love to hear how you're doing. And if you're struggling, then please do reach out. You could always have a one-off session if you'd just like to reground and regroup rather than making any rash decisions. I look forward to hearing from you. If you'd like something to help anchor you through the month alongside listening to this series, then my Sober Resilience course is available and it's hosted online. You can work through it at your own pace. It's a deeper version of what I'm talking about on here, with helpful routines. We deal with cravings. I give you tools and lots of things to help you with emotional steadiness. If you use the code DRYJAN26, it will give you a 30% discount, making the course £66.50. In that course, you've got 21 lessons, 11 hypnosis and relaxation downloads, and access to the Sober Rebel private Facebook group for support and friendship. If you'd like that, head to louisaevans.com, and I'll also pop a link in the show notes as well. You can start it at any point in your sobriety, on any day of your sobriety. This is about learning emotional resilience, and it covers many different topics.